Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Have you spoken to your family about being an organ donor? Marking Organ Donor Awareness Week, transplant recipient Rachel O'Hora is sharing her story. Rachel finally received a kidney and pancreas treatment after 8 years of waiting and several years of ill health. And she joins us now alongside Kenneth Mealy, who's the clinical director for HBV services in St. Vincent's Hospital, University Hospital in Dublin. You're both very welcome to the programme. Rachel, you're very welcome indeed to studio. Tell me a little bit about your story. You had diabetes, is that right, which impacted your health greatly?
Yeah, I've been type 1 diabetic since I was 8, and it's in our family. And they think like a virus triggered it off in me. So, I don't really remember what it was like to not be diabetic.
Really?
Yeah, and it was hard, like when I was diagnosed, because my granny had a sweet shop.
Oh, gosh.
And at the time, the way that diabetes was treated was no sugar allowed at all. So I could have a digestive biscuit or something plain like that. But
nothing
it wasn't
from the sweet shop?
No.
Must have been a killer.
It was.
And tell me this, apart from that, staying away from sweets, how else did it impact your life?
I had to take, I started off on 2 injections a day when I was small, but then that increased over time as management became more nuanced. So I ended up then on 5 injections a day and multiple tablets for different issues that I'd had. I'd had a lot of complications because of the diabetes. So I had laser eye surgery, I've had feet problems, and then the kidney problems.
Because it does cause other complications, as you say.
Yeah.
Energy levels, Rachel?
Pretty low. Probably more so to do with the kidney disease than the diabetes. The kidney disease, like the kidneys are involved in so many functions in the body that you don't even think about or you don't even know about. So it was only when I was told that they were failing that I realised all that they affect.
Okay.
So it's not just the going to the toilet. It's so many other things. Hormone balances.
You look beautifully healthy now today, but how would you have looked? Was there any marked difference in before the transplants, let's say?
I know myself that I look much better now. Like even looking at pictures of myself from before the transplant, I wasn't a good colour. I was kind of grey looking. And I looked sick, I think. Now, other people would say to me at the time, oh, geez, you don't look sick. You don't look like someone who needs dialysis. But I was. I knew myself that I didn't look myself.
And apart from how you feel, it must affect you psychologically as well.
Hugely, yeah. Yeah, it was massive. I haven't really thought an awful lot about it since the transplant or like about how I was pre-transplant. Mm-hmm. So that's making me a little bit emotional now thinking about it, but it just had such a massive effect on my life.
And years of waiting then as well.
Yeah.
Years of waiting. How long were you waiting for a transplant?
So I was 8 years from the time I went on the list.
My God, yeah. 8 years.
Yeah, so 8 years of dialysis and 8 years of waiting, not knowing when the phone might ring. You know, it was just, it was torture.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why they drag things out when they're torturing people, like prisoners and stuff like that, because it's horrible.
Yeah. And it's 8 years, as you say, of not knowing. Could have been 10, it could have been 12. You just did not know.
Yeah. And I kept putting things off. Oh, I'll do that after the transplant. And as a result, I'd advise people not to do that because it meant I lost all of my 30s to it.
Is that how you feel? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I turned 40 just last September and I know they say that life begins at 40, but I'm definitely going to try to keep to that because it's only now that I feel that I can make plans that I can commit to. Mm-hmm. And I've booked a holiday to visit my sister for September and she lives in New Jersey and just had a baby about 3 weeks before I had the transplant. So I've never actually met my niece.
Oh my God, that'll be brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so looking forward to that.
Watch out, New Jersey. Yeah. She's coming. tell me then about the transplant itself. Mm. So from the moment you got the phone call.
Yeah, so I got the phone call one evening after dialysis. And I wasn't long home and was in the middle of watching The Crown, which I was catching up on at the time. And the phone rang and it was a private number, and I had been warned to always answer a private number because if they ring from the hospital, that's what it'll be. So I answered the phone, and pretty much as soon as I heard the transplant coordinator's voice, I have to give a big thank you to Caroline and Moira, the two transplant coordinators, and Susie that looked after me, because they were just incredible. Like, I can't even describe the work that they put into this. And so when Caroline, the first question she asked me was, "Are you in Dublin?" Because I'm from Mayo, so I could have been in Mayo or I could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
So she just wanted to know. And that was, like, I'd had two false alarm calls before that, and that was the first question I was asked each time. So I then started to get my hopes up.
You knew then.
Yeah. But I still wouldn't let myself get excited. When I went down to theatre, I was, like, waiting in the anaesthetic room. And usually when I'm in there, because I've had several anaesthetics over my lifetime, when I'm in there, I usually cry. And it's kind of like an uncontrollable thing, like fear of going in there, maybe not coming out, or maybe, like, I think it's the loss of control over the time as well. Like, you fall asleep and you wake up, which feels like seconds later, but it could be 3, 4, 5, 10 hours later. So I don't like that feeling of not knowing what's happened.
It's also a big moment in your life, of course.
Yeah. But this particular time, I didn't cry. And it wasn't through any conscious effort on my behalf. Like, I just didn't cry. And I thought about that afterwards. I was like, I think I just wasn't letting myself get excited for it.
Okay.
Because it can be called off at any point.
It was a double transplant, isn't that
yeah.
right? Kidney
yeah.
and pancreas.
Yes.
Yeah. Did it happen at the same time?
Yes.
Pardon
so the yeah. yeah, the pancreas part happened first. So when the kidney part started, I was already completely flat out. And so it meant that I had never met the kidney surgeon beforehand, because he was based in Beaumont. And like me, he was on call. So it just depended on who was going to be on duty that day mm-hmm. as to who would perform the kidney part of the surgery, because they only do the pancreas part in Vincent's. So somebody had to come over from Beaumont to do the kidney part. So I only actually met him when I had an appointment in Beaumont about 10 or 12 weeks after the transplant. So he was saying that had never happened to him before, like that he was meeting somebody for the first time after operation.
Yeah, I'm sure you were glad to meet him though.
Yeah, it was lovely.
And
yeah.
I think you thought, no, the doctors have it easy here. So you threw in complications in there.
Exactly, yeah.
It was a double bypass, is that right, afterwards?
No, that was beforehand.
Was it? Sorry.
When I was on the list, they were doing, like, I was trying to get on the list and they were doing some tests, and I had an angiogram as part of that. And on the angiogram, it showed up that I had two slight narrowings of the blood vessels around my heart. And so they decided to do, like, a preemptive bypass, because they thought I'd need it, like, when I'd be around 50.
Oh, Lord.
And yeah, they said that it'd be better to have it pre-transplant rather than post-transplant and possibly affecting the new organs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And how long pre the transplant was the double bypass in?
Just about a year.
My goodness.
Yeah. So
did it take a while to recover from the bypass?
It did. Like, I had to be suspended off the list for 6 months afterwards. So the day the 6 months ended, I rang Vincent's and was chasing up my transplant, because yeah. like, I just felt like I had to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I totally understand that as well. And then, so go back then to the transplant for the double transplant mm-hmm. for just a second. There were complications after that, were there?
Yeah.
This is only last year, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a year yet. So it was in, like, the second half of last year. So, yeah, like, I was quite unwell afterwards. I actually had what they call ICU delirium. So I don't really remember the 10 days after the transplant. Like, I was imagining all sorts of things, having conversations with people that weren't in the room, mm-hmm. people that weren't even alive, like people that weren't real, like characters on TV. I tore the head off my surgeon one day because I was convinced that there were 10 people sleeping in my room the night before when I was supposed to be in HDU.
My goodness.
So, yeah, like, fully convinced of it.
Yeah.
So it just, that set me back quite a bit in terms of the recovery. Like, if it was over... It was about 10 days after the surgery that I actually got out of bed, where normally they try to get people out the day after.
So there were difficulties. It wasn't plain sailing. But
no.
But since then, since you rectified with your doctors those complications, you're a different woman. Is it fair to say that this has changed your life since?
Absolutely. Like with the diabetes, it means I don't have to take 5 injections a day. I am still on medication every day, so I'm so used to taking tablets because I was taking them for the diabetes anyway.
Yeah.
And I've got 16 extra hours in my week because I'm not on dialysis anymore. So, like, I was doing home dialysis for 5.5 years and then did 2.5 years on hemodialysis in the hospital. So that was in and out of the hospital every second day. And, yeah, it took up 16 hours of my week.
So it is like a completely different life, really. And you have New Jersey to look forward to as well.
Yes.
And your new little relation as well. Your little niece, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, look, give me one message to people listening because it's Organ Donation Awareness Week.
Mm-hmm.
The final message from you who has benefited from an organ donor, what would you like to say to people to raise awareness?
The key message of Donor Week this year is to leave no doubt. So whatever decision you've made, whether it's to donate your organs or that you don't want to donate them, you should tell your next of kin because they like it's putting them in an awkward position if you pass away and they have to make the decision then not being 100% sure of what you wanted. So if you have that conversation, because with the new human tissue bill that's to come in, you like the next of kin will still be consulted about the donation. So it's not that they're going to just say, oh, they're dead, we're going to take their organs.
Leave no doubt.
Yeah, leave no doubt and let your next of kin know.
Well, transplant recipient Rachel O'Hara, it's an absolute pleasure, I must say, to speak with you. Life begins at 40, as they say.
Exactly.
Enjoy, and thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.